Speaking with Robert White here with the Renewable Fuels Association, we're at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Trade Talk, and ethanol's been in the news quite a bit, but one of the main thing we want to talk about here is E15, and because E15 getting into the marketplace is really critical for getting over the blend wall, I guess, and which is kind of the ideal here. But a year ago, we had E15 finally approved by EPA for cars 2001 and newer. And so where are we at a year later, Robert?
Well, we've got some good news. We have E15 now. In a matter of just a couple weeks, we'll have E15 in 11 states, roughly 50 stations, and lots in the hopper. You know, we're hitting the winter season, so it's sometimes some of that equipment upgrades kind of takes a break until the thaw, I guess. But no doubt we're seeing a lot of interest. I just did some workshops across the Midwest, and the interest is very high. They're looking at diminishing returns on premium in most cases, and that's a tank. That's the opportunity we're looking for, whether it's blender pumps and doing E15 and E85, just E85 or just E15. And when you're replacing a product that's only 3 to 5% of their total volume with something that so far at every station selling E15 has been well over an average of 20%, that's a good return on their investment when in most cases for E15 it's a very minimal investment.
Right. And it, despite the attacks that we've seen on ethanol and E15 in particular by some organizations, you're really seeing a spike in interest from retailers.
Well, that, and you look at E15, as I said, you know, averaging over 20%. One station, their volume is 38% is E15, which you couldn't have convinced me of that 2 years ago that would happen that quickly, at least. And E85 sales are climbing dramatically, not only the volume, but the number of stations. And, you know, we're looking at the potential of over 500 million gallons of E85 being sold in 2013, 2014, you could see 700 or 800 million pretty easy just with kind of existing infrastructure. And when API says you'll never sell more than 100 million gallons of E85, you know you've had a good year.
Blender pumps, you mentioned them. This is one of the ways to really get out different blends. And how is that going and getting more blender pumps out?
Well, it's a challenge. You know, the lifespan of a dispenser today is between 10 and 15 years for most people. So every dispenser to get sold, there's about 40 to 50,000 replaced each year. If you miss one of those and you don't get them convinced that it's a blender pump or should be a blender pump, it might be a 10 or 15 year commitment. But we do have some new things that have come about. We have retrofit kits that can take anything back to a 2001 dispenser, you know, so basically almost a used dispenser, the one that's almost past its useful life. We do have several trade-in programs now where companies are buying the dispensers used, refurbishing them, and then selling them at a discount. And of course, if they're already looking to replace their dispensers, blender pumps are an option, and there still are incentives available to reduce that cost. And in almost every case today, if they're already looking to replace dispensers, if they avoid ethanol, they will pay more.
Well, you talked about the incentives, and you know, really, sometimes you know the anti-ethanol people say, well, you know, talk about the mandate quote. And really, what is the industry doing to get stuff out there? But the industry is doing quite a lot, not just on the federal level, but on the state level. You have a lot of corn grower groups and people that help their retailers in their states, right? Get blender pumps and E85 pumps.
Yeah, we did a webinar just this week, and I wanted to throw some state level or even what I call local incentives, like from the commodity groups, and I ran out of room. I mean, you couldn't put it on one slide what all the states, and you have tax credits, you have grant programs, both from the state, some through federal money coming down to state level, and then, of course, the commodity groups, the lung associations, the clean cities programs. And it's all about alternative fuel infrastructure and using more alternative fuels, because what we're seeing on the flip side from the oil industry is they're talking about we will soon be the largest producer of oil and gas. Well, what they don't want to tell you is that we're also the number one exporter of gasoline. And just last week, the API was asking to make it legal to start exporting crude. So it doesn't matter how much we produce, it'll still be sold at the highest bidder. And right now, it's not us.
Well, and really, it comes down to not just requiring people to use ethanol, but having the benefits, showing the benefits to both the retailers and the consumers. And that's really the message that we want to get out is it's good for everyone.
You know, you look at an industry like the fuel retailers, and over 90,000 gas stations are owned by people that only own one station. You know, in the old days, you could make a phone call and talk to 30,000 stations with one person. That just doesn't happen anymore. So the business case for ethanol is even stronger than it ever has been, because these are a lot of mom-and-pop individuals that they're looking at a quarter of a penny, or a penny is a lot of money. We're not talking one penny or a quarter of a cent. We're talking nickels here. And how do we make them more profitable and, in turn, allow the consumers to pay less at the pump? And that's what it's all about.
But the oil industry continues to throw up the blocks that they can. Zarco, one of the leaders in getting E15 out there, ran into a roadblock of their own with their own station. And tell us about that, how the industry is still trying to throw up roadblocks to those retailers to getting E15 and higher blends of ethanol.
Well, the Zarco example, you know, comes from Kansas, and it was Phillips 66 that had an awkward moment with one of their executives in a room last week in Washington. But there's no sugarcoating it. The way they say you have to offer E15 would be in violation of federal law, according to the EPA. So, yes, you can do it, but no, you can't legally do it. And we know that that's just another parlor trick to make sure that E15 doesn't ever have success, at least under a Phillips 66 canopy. But it goes on and on. It doesn't matter. CHS right now is limiting E15, and they're one of the largest ethanol marketers in the country. And we think that's wrong. We think that the retailers, yes, they want the ability to use those branded credit cards. They want a notable name on the flag or on the canopy. But at the end of the day, they are those small businessmen and women that need all the tools in the tool chest to make their lives successful, to have a successful small business. And that's what we're trying to forge through, and why we asked the Federal Trade Commission, and why we asked all the federal agencies. You need to start enforcing the Petroleum Marketing Practices Act. It's the reason there's a law for it, and we saw Senators Klobuchar and Grassley ask both AG Holder and the Federal Trade Commission to investigate. FTC says they are looking into it, and if they actually will do a push, it will be a big turnaround, because there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of small businesses that would make a leap if they were allowed to do that.
Well, a lot of times API and some of the other petroleum and oil company folks, they're talking about E15 being not safe, the whole misfueling thing. And the motorcycle people brought it up earlier this year. That I thought, if I was a motorcycle guy, I would feel really stupid. You know, I was like, you're too dumb to put the right fuel in your vehicle, even though it's completely well branded. But talk about the safeguards that the industry has in place to make sure that there aren't any safety issues, and you worked really hard with EPA on.
Well, let's just start with the label. It's orange and black. It's the largest required label on a fuel dispenser. I don't know what else you need to do. We don't have the ability to put strobe lights on dispensers to warn people, or have the hand come out and slap you upside the head if you grab the wrong one. But after 18 months of E15 being in the marketplace, we haven't had one incident of misfueling. We haven't had one check engine light come on, one issue with a vehicle, lawnmower, etc. And you know very well that if there was, we would have heard about it, because the E15 opponents would scream from the mountaintops. E15 is the most tested fuel to ever debut. There have been 43 studies conducted that have covered E15 in some fashion, and API continues to lean on one that's been highly discredited by Department of Energy, national laboratories, and any engine expert that really wants to put their name in print says that they purposely set those engines up to fail. And you know, the funniest thing to take away from it is one engine failed on gasoline and just suddenly disappeared from the executive summary. So we know that, and we see that the proof is in the facts. 6 million miles of testing and over 40 million consumer miles, and we have had zero issue to date.
Well, plus you have put together a handbook as part of the whole E15 approval process for retailers that really outlines all the things that they need, that they should do to make sure there aren't any issues.
And we've taken it one step further. We have free promotional stuff that, you know, has everything from QR codes to text-in hotlines, available at the pump, on the hoses, on the canopies, on the glass at the stations. We want to protect them as well. But the sheer nonsense that E15 has any different misfueling concern than diesel and gasoline is absurd. We have misfueling with diesel and gasoline daily. There's even commercials now that make light of the misfueling concern with diesel. So we know that there's issues out there and why the labeling is important, why the education is important. But, you know, we think when the facts are laid out, the consumers will look at the higher octane, lower priced fuel and make the right decision for their car.
Well, we're got a year under our belt with E15. What are you looking forward to for the next year?
Well, it's about E15 and E85. You know, blender pumps obviously are a bonus because you get both of them at the same time. But we're working with that existing infrastructure as well with the retrofit kits, with the trade-in programs. And, you know, like I said, convincing retailers that this investment of 10 or 15 years that they're looking to make, let us help you make the right decision so that you're prepared, whether it's E15, E20, E30, whatever it is down the road, you have the equipment that is compatible for that movement, and it's simply a calibration issue.
All right. Thank you very much, Robert White with the Renewable Fuels Association here at NAFB's 2013 Trade Talk. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.